is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Let God be God. You see, doubt's good for us. It's healthy. It's real. Nothing wrong with that. But how we respond to it makes all the difference. Doubt is honest about the human perspective. We don't see it all clearly. But see, when doubt is coupled with faith, when doubt is overcome by faith, then we move, and we move in the right way. Because, see, faith resolves to trust in the character and nature and ability of God who said, and not in the what-ifs that worry me.
Doubt doesn't have to be negative. The way we handle it determines our outcome. We could choose to let our doubts be a hindrance to growth in our faith, or we can choose to have faith amidst doubt. Choosing faith over fear-made doubts will strengthen us in our walk with Jesus. So what will you choose today? Will your fear make you unstable in your faith, or will your faith help you to overcome your fears? Get ready to join Pastor Troy as he explores the attributes of belief and unbelief. Now, here is Pastor Troy in John chapter 10 as he begins his message, The Nature of Belief and Unbelief.
We're in John chapter 10, verses 22 through 42. John chapter 10, verses 22 through 42. The title is The Nature of Belief and Unbelief. In Act 3, Scene 1 of Shakespeare's play, Hamlet, Hamlet says the famous line, "To be or not to be? That is the question." Now, I don't know if you know the context of that statement, but he's considering suicide. He's felt the spurn of love, and it's such a miserable feeling. The question is, to be or not to be? To be alive, to exist and go on feeling this, or to just end it all? That is the question. So it's about whether you want to continue to feel the pain of rejection, a rejected love. Well, John, and you can even say Jesus, would disagree with that being the question, to be or not to be. One, because God loves you. You never have to worry about rejected love because the one who loves perfectly loves you. You can experience the love of God, and it's better than the love of anyone else. But also because John would say the question is this, to believe or not to believe. That is the question. The theme of his entire gospel, John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, give us the theme of his entire gospel. It says this, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." So in our verses today, we're going to look at two groups. One group is in Jerusalem at the temple. Despite the miraculous signs, despite the personal testimonies, they don't believe. The other group is going to be out in the wilderness where Jesus began his ministry and John the Baptist was serving in his ministry. They give weight to the miracles and to the personal testimony of others, and they believe. So the theme here is belief versus unbelief, and we're going to contrast the two and look at the nature of belief and unbelief. So let's look at verse 22. "Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, 'How long do you keep us in doubt if you are the Christ? Tell us plainly.'" So the first thing we'll touch on unbelief is the sinister nature of unbelief. Jesus walks into the temple area. They surround him. Well, how long are you going to keep us in suspense? Are you claiming to be the Christ or what? They're saying, be clear. So at least 2 months have gone by since the encounter with the man born blind. You remember that over the past few weeks, we've been dealing with that encounter and the conversation after that encounter or as a result of that encounter. Well, 2 months have gone by between verse 21 and verse 22. That event took place during, it says, the Feast of Tabernacles. This event, we always get our little timelines when they mention an event. This event takes place during the winter, not the fall, like the Feast of Tabernacles, during the Feast of Dedication. So a couple of months have gone by. Jesus walks into the temple, they surround him, and they say, if you're claiming to be the Christ, just tell us plainly. Look at Jesus' response, verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice. So he's already established this. This was a couple of months ago, but he's established this teaching. And I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So one of the things about the sinister nature of unbelief is this. It protects its true nature. It seeks to protect its true nature. Here's what I mean. It disguises itself. It blames others. It's unbelief. It's defiance, really. But it disguises itself. It packages itself in other things. Unbelief often disguises itself as something like doubt. Or if I just could see. People don't normally come up and go, you know, I'm an unbeliever, I'm going to hell. They don't normally do that. They'll say, you know, I'm just not sure. I need more questions answered. I still have some questions, or I'm not completely convinced yet. So they will say that they're looking. And sometimes that's true. But sometimes it's not. God knows the heart. So they approach Jesus with what seems to be an honest question. How long will you keep us in suspense? Are you claiming to be the Messiah? But it's not an honest question. Jesus knows that. Because Jesus had already stated on numerous occasions that he was the Son of God, that he was God in the flesh, that he had come down from heaven, that he was their Messiah. He'd been very clear, and they'd picked up stones and done things that suggested they were understanding what he was claiming. These guys are simply looking for an excuse right now, an excuse to take him down with public approval. It's sort of like those who say, I have questions, and they're not honest. They really just want to try to come up with the right question to cause maybe you to doubt or you to stop bugging them. Notice they say, how long will you keep us in doubt? How long will you keep us in doubt? You're not being clear. So they refer to their condition as doubt. We're in doubt. We haven't had enough. You haven't spoken clearly. But Jesus refers to their condition as unbelief. They say, tell us. Talk to us. And Jesus says, I told you. And you don't believe. It's not doubt. It's I don't believe. Jesus goes on to say, you didn't believe the signs that verified all of the things. And you don't recognize my voice, which proves you're not one of my sheep. Because I don't lose my sheep. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. You're not following me. You must not be one. So something I think we need to understand is that there's a big difference between doubt and unbelief. Doubt looks for answers. I want to know truth, and so I don't know. It looks for answers. It longs for answers. It accepts answers when they come, and they're reasonable to answer the question. Unbelief doesn't care about answers. Have you ever spoken to someone, you give them an answer clearly, and then they move on to something else? Well, what about this? You're not dealing with doubt. You're dealing with unbelief. Straight up defiance. Resistance. Everyone struggles with spiritual doubts. Every one of us. And I think at every phase in our life, we have some kind of fear, because that's what doubts come from. They're fears. Oh no, am I going to be okay? It's the whole idea of doubt. Am I going to be okay if I embrace this? Am I going to be okay if I do this? So we have doubts, and as God leads us and calls us to take larger steps or to give up other things, really giving up ourself, who we are, who we've always been and been comfortable being, as we do that, we have doubts. Are you sure? Is this the Lord? That's a big step. So there are always spiritual doubts. Abraham and Sarah had spiritual doubts. Like maybe when he said, did he say you? Maybe he even meant Hagar. I believe the promise, that part I can believe, but maybe he didn't mean through us. They had their doubts, they wrestled through them, they made a lot of mistakes. Think about doubt. When we succumb, we give in to doubt, and we kind of come with alternative directions, we come up with our own understanding, our own way, we make a mess. And this is why it's best to respond to the Lord by faith. Trusting him. You've said this, I don't get it, but I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to do everything the right way. I'm not going to let my doubts cause me to make mistakes and do things the wrong way, take things into my own hands. So, everyone struggles with doubt, which is linked with fear. But you see, doubt is not the enemy of faith. Just like fear is not the enemy of faith, it just shows that we need to have faith. I have doubt. I'm scared. Yeah. That's no sin. It's a real feeling. The sin comes in when you say, I'm going to trust my fear more than my faith in the Lord. That's sin. We're all going to have feelings and emotions. We're people. But it's when we give in to those things that we choose who we're going to trust, and we sin. So the goal is to learn to trust the Lord despite how you feel, what you think, the fact that you can't understand, and to let God be God. You see, doubt's good for us. It's healthy. It's real. Nothing wrong with that. But how we respond to it makes all the difference. Doubt is honest about the human perspective. We don't see it all clearly. But see, when doubt is coupled with faith, when doubt is overcome by faith, then we move, and we move in the right way. Because, see, faith resolves to trust in the character and nature and ability of God who said, and not in the what ifs that worry me. Unbelief, however, decides against faith. It pushes away anything that would require placing faith in the Lord. Unbelief is defiant. I'm not going to embrace that. Doesn't matter what you say. Okay, good answer there. But it keeps shifting and morphing, and it just says no.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second part of today's message, so be sure to stay tuned. If you'd like to listen to more teachings from Building on the Solid Rock, we invite you to visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. Pastor Troy has been teaching verse by verse through the Bible for a while. You can listen online to our archive of these messages. You can also download each teaching to listen to later or share with your friends and family. You can even subscribe to the Building on the Solid Rock podcast through iTunes. That way you'll never miss a teaching, and you'll be notified as soon as we make these messages available. Find a link to subscribe when you visit buildingonthesolidrock.com. Now, here's Pastor Troy with the continuation of today's message. Building on the solid rock.
So there's a big difference in doubt and unbelief. Unbelief often tries to disguise its true nature as something legitimate, but it's not. It's defiance. There's enough there to believe, and they won't. They choose not to. I am not going to embrace that. And God will judge it. So, verse 31. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him, because he had declared himself equal with the Father. Jesus answered them, "Many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God." You're making yourself equal with God. How could you dare do that? That's blasphemy. But he's the Son of God. He's Christ, and there's no other way, right? Well, there's another thing about unbelief. It rejects the narrowness of Christ. It rejects the narrowness of Christ. It's too narrow for the unbelievers. That's one of their arguments. That's too narrow. You see, these guys here standing before Jesus, they understand clearly what he's saying and has been saying about himself. He's equal with the Father. He and the Father are one. He is from heaven, from the Father. They understand. When Jesus speaks, it's God's word. They understand what he's claiming, and they're saying, well, it's blasphemous for you to put yourself on the same level as God, saying what I say is God's word, authoritative. Jesus had said things like, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." You can't come in any other way. He said, "Before Abraham was, I am." You remember that statement? I am? That's equality with God if there ever was a statement. So he's consistently claimed to be the only way. And yet, they've rejected him as the way. They've rejected him as the only way for sure. Have you ever heard someone say about Jesus, "I just can't believe that he is the only way"? He just can't be the only way, or they'll broaden it off. They won't use Jesus' name. Maybe they'll say Christianity, which Christianity in its true source is we follow Jesus. And that's the idea of Christianity, Christianos, followers of Christ or little Christs. And so the idea is that they say, "I can't believe because I see so many other people who are sincere and loving and good people that this would be the only way." A majority of the world, just so you have a general statistic here, most of the world does not believe in Christ. Not that he didn't exist or anything, but they don't believe in him. They don't have faith in him. They don't put their trust in him as the Son of God, God in the flesh, the Savior, the one and only way. Most of the world. We can get in our little Christian bubble, you know, when we're in church a lot, we're around others, and it's almost like, well, everyone believes. No, not so. Most do not. Most do not believe. In fact, they'll look at you who do believe, and they will say, "You guys are so narrow." Almost to paint you as mean. You're narrow and you're exclusive. How narrow, and not only how narrow, but how arrogant. How arrogant can you be to think that you have the only way? Now, the truth is, I don't think I have the only way. I just believe Jesus is the only way. And that's what I'm sharing with them. There's a lot of flaws. I'm still learning. I'm still growing. I could counsel you on this and that. And my way of disciplining my children or raising a boy versus a girl, all that stuff may vary from someone else's a little bit. I don't have all the answers. I'm not the way, the truth, and the life. However, when Jesus makes comment on certain things, when Jesus has an opinion about something, when Jesus has spoken about something, I understand his is right. And so he is the way, the truth, the life. There is no other way. So when I stand on his word and I say, yeah, there is no other way, no other religion, and it's not about the religion, nothing against them personally. I didn't make the claim. I just believe that Jesus did, and I believe in him, and when I declare that, I'm standing on his word. He made the claim, not me. But they say that that is so mean, narrow. Their problem is in their thinking, the way they might illustrate, because I've heard some use the illustration of a mountaintop. Well, everyone's just climbing the mountain, and they're all going a different path, but in the end, they all get to the same peak. I thought, well, that's not really how it goes, because that would mean we've worked our way to get there. We've discovered, we've worked our way, we did it. But it's really more like a rope that has been let down from heaven. A hand that has been placed out going, you have to, there's no other way. So I'm going to save you, but you got to grab this hand. You got to grab this rope. There is no other ways, no other paths. You can't get there yourself. Without the letting down of the rope, there is no salvation. There can be no salvation. So rather than complaining about being so narrow, people ought to be thankful there is a way. That there is a way at all. It's the love of God that has made a way, because God cannot be in the presence of sin without destroying, consuming that which is sinful. And so he's made a way, and it costs the blood of Christ. Jesus had to die on the cross, a brutal death, undeserving, so that the way could be opened, because we need to be covered by something, clothed with a righteousness we don't possess, that's only received as we believe. By faith, live our lives going, I believe what he did. I believe what he did for me. And I'm going to live with a newness of life. I see you. I hear you, God. And I'm going to respond to you like I do. Because other people hear him. They've heard. You hear about Balaam. Balaam and the donkey. God spoke to Balaam. Balaam wasn't a believer. Balaam is looked at as a negative person, as somebody who's not in heaven, who misled people, but he heard the voice of God. But he wasn't a believer. People hear his voice. I believe God has reached out to every single individual at some point. It's a matter of whether they listen, log it in, or they go, I don't want that. I'm not going to have it. We can all look back in our lives and see the hand of God. Sometimes we look back and we can go, I think I heard the Lord speak to my heart. I did something because I just heard this voice. And it saved me. It changed the whole direction of my life. Because there is a God who loves you and who cares. But many reject the narrowness of Christ. It's like receiving one card. Well, I reject this card. I want multiple cards. No, we got one. It's a love letter. It's the word of God revealing himself to us. Read it. Enjoy it. Because it's for you. It's the truth. So statements like, I am the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but by me. They give us no room to say there are other ways. It's hard. I want people to like me. I want to say, you know what? If you're sincere, you're a good family, man. I would accept you in heaven. I see no reason why Jesus wouldn't. I can't say those things. Because if they don't, it doesn't matter how good they are. If they don't believe in Christ, they're not going to be going to heaven. And so we're left behind as lights and salt in the world to live our lives, to share the gospel so that they might believe. So unbelief rejects the narrowness of Christ. Look at verse 34. He's quoting the word of God. Is it not written in your law? I said, you are gods. If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scriptures cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to seize him, but he escaped out of their hand. Third thing about unbelief, it neglects the testimony of Scripture.
Pastor Troy has been teaching through the Gospel of John here on Building on the Solid Rock. Different than the other Gospel books, John introduced his book by going further back than when Jesus was born as a baby. He delved into the very nature of God and solidified throughout his writing that Jesus was the Son of God. This backdrop gives you a different insight into Jesus as a man, as he lived here on earth. It's no wonder that the book of John includes so many miracles, because it's evidence that only God could do such things. If you're curious to hear more of the teachings from this book, visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can listen online or download the messages to share with others. If you've been encouraged by today's message, we'd love to hear from you. Feel free to send us an email through our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's all we have time for today. Join Pastor Troy next time as he continues in the Gospel of John on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your way in us. Come.